Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we are making our way very quickly to the conclusion of Galatians chapter 3, and therefore the end of all that Paul has said in this chapter about law and promise and faith and works and Christ and Moses. You may remember that after explaining the law of Moses was given to be like a jailer or a pedagogue to shut us up until the coming of Christ, he now addresses the Galatian believers in terms of sonship, when he says in Galatians 3:26, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." And this speaks of the remarkable transformation, the astonishing appropriation, and the necessary intervention. And we'll talk about that in just a moment, but let me remind you of our need for your help to maintain the Beacon Broadcast on this station, and also the opportunity to receive a copy of Tom Wells' book, God is King, by Evangelical Press, for sending us a gift of any amount to help us keep this station on the air. Tom Wells looks at what the Bible has to say about God's kingship over the circumstances and events of our lives, and shows how a right understanding of the truth of God's kingship is a source of great joy and comfort to the Christian. I'd love to send you a copy for your gift of any amount to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. For you are all sons of God. Well, that's an astounding statement. That indicates an astounding transformation. What were we when we were born into this world? Children of wrath, Ephesians 2:3. Children of the devil, said Jesus in John 8:44. But Paul says, you are all sons of God. Something remarkable has happened to change the status of Paul's readers from children of wrath to sons of God. What a liberating achievement. Sons of God. And that's a masculine plural noun, which speaks of full-grown sons liberated from the pedagogue that we talked about in verse 24. That custodian, that guardian, that was the constant companion of the sons of wealthy families in the Roman world and watched over them and chaperoned them in everything they did from about the age of 6 to 16 or 17 or so. But you see, and the law served that purpose in the lives of people. But coming to Christ liberated us from the constraints of the law. Coming to Christ made us sons of God, made us full-grown sons of God. It brought us to that place where we don't need our pedagogue anymore. Now, this is one of those places, by the way, where it is important to use the exact pronouns that God gave in His Word. We have a modern trend to change things like sons of God into children of God, and the term men to change that to people, because we don't want to offend females. And I understand that, I think. I'm sure I don't understand it as well as a woman might, but I do understand that, and I am somewhat sympathetic to the need for that. And I find myself many times when I'm using biblical language and talking about men, God has done this for men, I many times find myself stopping and saying, of course, but that means women too. God has done this for people. But to mess with the text, to actually alter the translation of the Bible, to include these gender-neutral statements that overlook the exact word that God has given, will produce translations that do not give us the truth, that do not tell us what God has delivered, that do not reveal to us the truths that God has contained in His Word. And this is a good example of that. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. If you change that to children of God, you lose the context of the previous verse and its reference to the pedagogue, which had to do specifically with sons. And you'll lose the analogy. You'll lose the illustration. You'll lose the impact of what Paul is talking about now. We are full-grown sons who have outgrown the need for a pedagogue. There is an inclusive broadness here in the language. The you is a change in pronoun from we. Paul had used we earlier, and the all is emphatic. All of you without distinction. He's writing to all of the Galatian believers, men and women, male and female, and he says, you all are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. All of you, whether men or women, that's not really the point, but all of you should be regarded as this new status, full-grown sons of God, no longer in need of the pedagogue that the law was. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor or a pedagogue, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Well, that's the remarkable transformation. And there is an astonishing appropriation. How are we made sons of God? Through faith. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Not by keeping the law. Not by achieving merit. But by believing the promise of God. That's how you and I and anyone becomes a son of God. Becomes a full-grown, mature son of God. The astonishing appropriation is through faith, but notice, please, the necessary intervention. It's not just faith in anything. It is faith in Christ Jesus. Not faith in faith. Some people have lots of faith in their faith. And they think their faith is what commends them to God. And they view their faith almost as a work. I've got a lot of faith. Notice how much faith I've got. I have great faith. That's what commends me to God. No, it's Christ that commends you to God. You appropriate Christ by faith. But it is faith in Christ Jesus, not faith in Christ Jesus or whatever. It's faith in Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus is God's necessary intervention into the human condition. Faith in Christ Jesus, who is God, come in the flesh. Faith in Christ Jesus, who is Christ keeping the law on your behalf. Faith in Christ Jesus, who is Christ paying the penalty for your guilt. Faith in Christ Jesus, which is God doing for you what you could not do for yourself. And the point is, because we can't keep the law, Christ has kept it for us. And that's the evidence of God's love. That's the evidence of God's mercy. That's the evidence of God's concern for fallen sinners. God has graciously sent His Son to do the thing that we could not do. But we need to understand that, recognize that, acknowledge that, and humbly seek God's mercy. We need to acknowledge ourselves unworthy of salvation, unable to keep the law, and humbly ask for divine welfare, if you want to call it that. Knowing that God has provided the only possible way of salvation because of our helpless and hopeless condition. Now let's kind of wrap up the relationship between the law and justification. Justification is the judicial declaration of a righteous standing before God. That's what I need. Justification is the opposite of condemnation. When you and I stand before the judgment bar of God someday, there are two possible verdicts. Either you are pronounced just, or you are pronounced condemned. The law condemns, but it cannot justify. The law shows us our guilt, our transgression, and the law has a penalty attached for those who break it, and so the law condemns. The sinner's first response to the law is to try to earn righteousness by obeying the law, thinking if breaking the law earns me demerit, then keeping the law must earn merit, right? It's as if a sinner must first believe he can be justified by keeping the law, and then learn by personal failure that he cannot, before he will come to understand and appreciate salvation by grace through the finished work of Christ. Often sinners will reject the requirements of the law so that they will not feel condemned by it. This is why so many people hate everything Christian. This is why so many seem determined to suppress every external expression of the law of God. This is why so many are endeavoring to suppress the work of the law in their conscience. Others will endeavor to lower the standard of the law so that they may mistakenly feel justified, or at least hold on to the possibility of justification through works. That's the basis of nearly every false religion, and even distortions of Christianity. Lowering the true standard of the law, diminishing the true nature of the law, in order to make it doable, attainable. Because God's law, as given, is impossible for anyone to keep. But you see, the law must do its condemning work before sinners will truly desire Christ. You must go first to the law to learn your sin, and then come to Christ to be cleansed from your sin. You must first be made to feel helpless and hopeless by the imprisonment of the law before you will ever desire Christ. That's the way that the Holy Spirit works to bring sinners to Christ. So, dear friend, have you experienced the convicting power of the Holy Spirit causing you to feel the weight of your sin? Do you know yourself to be a sinner? I'm not talking about a superficial assent to the Bible statements about universal sinfulness, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, so of course I must be a sinner. But I mean a personal, serious sense of sin, guilt, and just condemnation. If that is true for you, then, dear friend, please find hope in the promise that Christ saves every sinner who comes to Him for cleansing. Come unto Me, all you that weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But if not, then ask God to show you your true sinful condition before a thrice holy God. Give careful and extended attention to those scriptures that speak of the defilement of sin and the just condemnation of God for sinners. And to those of you who are interested in evangelism and soul winning, please understand how important it is to emphasize the holiness of God and the sinfulness of men before you hasten on to talk about the love of God in Christ Jesus. I hope these are helpful lessons of truth from the Word of God. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.